Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Have you ever wondered why we call French fries French fries? Or why something is the greatest thing since sliced bread? There are answers to those questions. Everything Everywhere Daily is a podcast for curious people who want to learn more about the world around them. Every day, you'll learn something new about things you never knew you didn't know. Subjects include history, science, geography, mathematics, and culture. If you're a curious person and want to learn more about the world you live in, just subscribe to Everything Everywhere Daily wherever you cast your pod.
Welcome to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. On today's show, beekeeper and preservationist Steve Downs, don your apiary veils now. And Lyft driver Virginia Jones will share secrets of how to be a five-star customer. One hint, don't puke in her car. I'm Adam Felber, your sous chef of advice, and now, please welcome the woman who won't follow any recipe, Paula Poundstone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Welcome, Paula, and thank you to tonight's house band ukulele player, Johnny Herbert. Johnny, you're is that a ukulist? A uktarist? A ukulelian?
Ukrainian, actually.
Ukrainian. Yeah.
What is it called when you play a ukulele?
Strummer. I could
be called
a strummer.
We were nowhere near strummer. We were going in the uke vein.
Yeah, because strummer sounds so non-specific.
Strummer, ukuleleist.
Ukuleleist?
You did one of those
there
words.
We go. Oh,
okay. You don't like, it's not a fun word to say.
It's a hard one.
Now, Johnny, you're...
I took, because I have a ukulele at home, and online, I took an online lesson just from YouTube or something, and
how'd that work out?
It's how I make my living now.
That's right.
Just took right. off.
You're playing a few venues coming up, aren't you?
Yeah,
you,
Paula, I'm playing at the Ukulele Festival.
Excellent.
In Oklahoma City next week.
Ukefest.
Yeah. No, Strummer. Strummer.
Oh, Strummerfest. No, Ukefest is the one in Kansas.
I actually, you know what? I wouldn't even know how to bring it up on my flat thing, but I did write a song that I played with my daughter Allie plays a violin, and I wrote a beautiful song about my son when he was in high school still. And I believe one of the lyrics was, my son Thomas says he wants to go to college, but I don't know.
Oh, it's good. That's
yeah.
A, that's said, a very good
if
one.
It requires anything more than printing out a picture, I don't see how.
Oh, nice. So you weren't overburdened with rhymes in that song?
No.
Okay.
No.
Now, speaking of songs and being written on a ukulele, I believe that Johnny Herbert, he's been listening to the show, our ukist, and he has a theme song.
Nice.
Because, you know, we've been doing this search for the theme song.
Yeah,
you ready, Johnny?
Of course. I'm ready.
Give it to us.
Someone should listen, but nobody does. We got no fans, and that's okay, because Adam and Paula got so much to say. So save your worries for another day. Nobody, nobody, nobody's listening to the show. Nobody, nobody's listening to Paula Poundstone. She keeps on talking. Paula Poundstone.
Yeah, Johnny Herbert on the uke. You know what? I dread the day when we finally choose a theme song, because this is my favorite thing.
Yeah, that was a great one, Johnny. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Got the essence.
Yeah, yeah, you really
of not only the show, but my entire life, really.
Now, We're coming to you, of course, from Ray Horseman Studios. And, Polly, you noticed something very interesting, I'm told, last week about the Wi-Fi networks around here.
Yeah, no, it's today. I was trying to get, I was sitting in my car. I like to get here early just to take in Miranda Avenue.
You don't want to get out of your car after dark anyway, so yeah.
No, yeah, I'd like to get here early. And I was, you know, I was looking over the corn cob from last week that was still there on the sidewalk. And I was parked.
Next to the toilet.
I was parked behind a junk truck. Has obviously littered the area with a lot of what's on. So anyways, I was trying to get on my flat thing to look at Twitter, and they, you know how they shows the...
Available Wi-Fi networks.
The available Wi-Fi networks, exactly. Sure. Yeah. And what was it? Eat my dick? Was that the...
Eat a dick?
Oh, eat a dick.
Oh, eat a dick.
Oh!
Very different than eat my dick.
Yeah, entirely different.
But that was the Wi-Fi network.
Yeah.
Now, when you told me that before when you told me that just a few minutes ago before the show, I went on to see what... if that was available still, and Eat a Dick is gone.
No.
Yeah. But you know what? You know what is there? One called FBI Van 6. Which I think is poor judgment from the guys in the van.
Yeah.
Because there are drug deals to break up around here, but you don't want to identify yourself that.
Yeah, they're going to, when they go to use their flat thing, the criminals are going to see, wait a minute, I think it's over there in that.
In that van. All right. Well, we want to move on to our first topic because we have an amazing slate of guests.
I'm ready. I'm excited about both guests. Not that I've ever run hot and cold on the guests.
No,
I am really excited because our first guest. I've showed you the picture before, right?
Yes.
I have a birdhouse in my backyard.
Yes, and you have a situation happening with the birdhouse.
It's a situation. That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
I have a birdhouse. So part of our new segment of the show, what's the infestation this week? I have a birdhouse in my backyard, and bees took over the birdhouse.
Now, do you think they did that because they're fleeing the rats who are in your nectarine tree?
It could be.
Or do you think they're scared of the palmetto bugs in your kitchen?
Or the giant logy flies. Oh, my giant logy fly situation has not gotten any better at all.
Mine's over.
No, yours have come to my house.
I went on
me.
One killing spree, and that was it.
There was one today that was over near my kitchen sink, and he was just on his back. And I don't think anything flipped him over.
He was just
on
chilling.
His back.
He was chilling in here.
No, he was buzzing. He's making a big buzzing noise, because I don't know how they do it. But anyways, I found him pretty quickly.
Okay.
He knows nothing about hiding. So anyways, my birdhouse is, at one time I could see in.
To your birdhouse.
In the hole, we have the big hole where the birds would go in.
Yeah.
The circle. And at one point I could see in and I could say, oh my gosh, there's a hive in there.
A beehive.
Yeah. And now you can't see the hive because I think it has something to do with the heat wave. They're all out on the front of the house. They're totally...
The bees are covering the birdhouse.
They're covering the front and
like
the bottom of the birdhouse.
Like a beard of bees might cover a face.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So that
and is that day and
us,
night?
I don't go out there at night.
Right, because of the rats.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better.
It's not a giant house either. The amount of fauna that you've managed to come down with in the last couple of months is amazing.
Yeah. They say that a good antidote for all the electronics and the flat things and the computer screens and all is what they call like a nature bath, just being out in nature.
Right,
and you can go in my house and get that now.
That's a nature bath, yeah.
My house
we
is
We haven't even touched on the fact that you
bath.
Also harbor pets that you want.
Well, I have 14 cats.
14 cats.
Those I purposely put in there, but everything else.
You had those installed.
Yeah, and I had those brought in by professionals, but and my dog Sirius.
And there's still rats.
And
there's still rats. Exactly.
She can't get a fresh nectarine.
Wait a minute. That voice was
that
the voice of.
That voice is the voice of Picasso Live Bee Removals proprietor. Welcome everybody. He's been doing this stuff for 20 years. Steve Downs.
Hello.
Well, I am so glad you're here. For one thing, my assistant at home, a guy named Wendell, Wendell's in the negative club, and one of the things he does is he picks me up at the airport when I'm done with a job, and as we're driving home, he'll say, well, I saw the bees. They've left the hive. They're dead. He said, I saw them flying around. They must have gotten scared off. They're not going to be there anymore.
And that's never true.
No. I go out and I look. It's robust. It's packed. with bees. But so I'm so glad to talk to an expert, because honestly, Wendell does usually know a lot on different topics. But this one, I think he's got it totally wrong. So...
Well, when it comes to bees, you know, a lot of people think that they're there for just a quick visit. For some reason, everybody sees bees are going in some sort of location, and they're like, oh, it's just a few bees. You know, they're in my roof, or they're going in the eave. And then it turns out that they're there to stay because, you know, bees don't just normally do that.
They don't vacation.
No.
Okay.
Well, they do vacation in your home.
Okay.
Unwanted.
But not in a big group. If it's a big group, they're moving in.
In a big group. So what you're seeing on the outside, if you see one bee, you should multiply that bee. If they're there, you know, steady, you know, weeks on or days on, then you're going to multiply one bee by 1,000. So that's what's inside the actual structure or wherever you're seeing them fly around.
So what's happening in the birdhouse, do you think? I mean, it seems like they're all hanging out on the front stoop of the birdhouse.
It's not a huge birdhouse. It's the size of, it's probably a little bit smaller than a shoebox.
And how many bees are on the outside of it?
I don't know. I didn't.
Well, you don't have to get a head
I never
count.
Asked them to count off.
Nobody's asking you to
take
attendance.
I had a bad experience with counting off when I was a kid, and I never do.
Right.
In our PE class, we just weren't that bright.
Right, you couldn't do
they'd
it.
They'd say, count off, you know, count. No, they'd say, you know, one, two, one, 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 and then
right.
Fuck, let's start over.
Okay, yeah, no, I hear that. But, but I'm asking you to guesstimate. You know, is it 10 bees or 1,000 bees?
I don't think it's 1,000 bees in that,
is
that,
it 100
in that
bees?
Hive. But what I don't know is... did they all come out of the hive inside the birdhouse, or are there some that are still, is the beehive packed and they've had to spill out onto the front of the house? That's the question.
Could be possible. It could be many scenarios. How long have they been there established that you know of?
Over a year.
Okay, so they're definitely, there's been migrations because bees migrate every 2 to 4 months. You know, their job is to multiply, and, you know, the queen's doing her job, and they're, you know, they're healthy, they're multiplying, and every 2 to 4 months.
So what do you mean
they
migrate? What does that mean?
Well, the hive gets overly crowded, kind of like what you're seeing right now, and then, you know, the hive splits because that's their purpose. They're going to hatch new queens at a perfect time, about 2 to 4 months, once the hive is too big and overly crowded, and then they'll migrate. The old queen will leave while the new queen stays and looks after the brood.
Because it can't be two queens together.
Not together in the same hive.
There can be only one.
Only, exactly.
I'm gonna be doing bee puns like that all night.
I worry about that. Yeah.
But they're just stopping in though. So some of them are on their way out.
Yeah.
They're basically using it like an Airbnb.
Exactly.
Oh man, this is only gonna get worse.
Yeah.
I just realized I should probably put my flat thing on and show
you
the picture of
the. Oh, you have a picture of the whole.
I do.
The
I have
thing?
A picture of the bees on the front. All right. So but that still wouldn't explain how many we have. So you think that maybe a queen hatched in there and then she took, like, it was like a divorce. She took
half the bees.
That could be one scenario. Another scenario is it could be too hot and overly crowded.
You know, the first time I ever saw them on the front of the house was a year ago, September. We had a record hot day in Santa Monica.
Oh, it was 104. Too hot inside the birdhouse.
Yeah. At the time, I tweeted, I said, I think this is, I took a picture of it, and I said, I think this is bee for it's too fucking hot in the house. And
oh,
then,
you're right.
And then I
were
posted
they wearing undershirts?
It, and somebody wrote, they had those little fans that are motorized. Yeah,
like,
maybe they
us.
Just... So, all right, I know nothing about how they procreate, even. I thought there was only one female, and the female was the queen. But I guess...
No.
That's not true, is it?
No, it's not. Most bees in the hive, you know, 90% of the bees in the hive are female.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, another scenario, really quick...
That's
you know,
why they
could
work
be,
so hard.
The hive could be maybe being attacked by ants, an ant colony, maybe...
Do you have ants back there?
I haven't seen any, but... probably next week on what's the infestation this week.
Odds are you have an ant problem there.
No,
but yeah, tons of females in the hive. You know, there are more females. The drones are there just to help with the procreation.
So that's it.
They don't do much.
They don't do anything.
No,
really.
So there's a pronounced difference between the behavior of those few male bees, which are drones, and the females.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that the males don't do anything.
No. Just, you know, they're just chilling, you know, hanging out.
And then, so have sex with the females?
Yeah.
And that's all they...
That's pretty much all they do.
Wow. Huh. Boy, look at that.
And then they're, you know, and then they die. They have sex, you know, maybe a couple of times, and they die.
And then they die.
Yeah.
Wow.
Their genitals explode.
What?
After
really?
They climax, yeah.
Wow, for a minute there, the male bee gig was sounding good. And then all of a sudden it took a turn.
Yeah. Their genitals explode. Really?
Yeah. That's a, yeah.
Wow, boy. Late now, night television for a bee.
Yeah.
Those ads, you know.
Right.
You know.
Feeling like your genitals might explode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Try.
Yeah.
Enacting.
Had an erection for over 4 hours. Look out!
Everybody get down!
Wow, that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Genital
yeah,
is. Explosion. Is
there, and there's no way they could prevent that from happening.
not me, personally, no.
You're not in charge.
I don't think there's a way.
Steve, here's... all right, wait.
All right, this is going to make...
Unless they don't have any...
I hate people showing pictures on their flat thing.
This is
going to
make great audio
right
here.
Look at that.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Okay, so I am now handing to Picasso a picture of my bee hive. Well, you can't see the hive, but you can see
the... It looks like a pretty healthy hive. I mean, to be honest, I mean, a lot of these bees are on the outside look like they might just be getting some cool air.
Yeah.
And a couple of them could be guards. You know, maybe some workers kind of, there are guard bees. They're females as well.
Really?
They protect the hive.
Is there anybody with exploding genitals in that picture?
No, I don't see anything going on there.
Okay.
Any shoe bombers? Are there any shoe bombers in there?
But it looks like it's getting overcrowded. But it doesn't look bad. I mean, I've seen so many of these hives. It looks really good, like they're healthy.
I'm very proud of that. Now, I've had absolutely nothing to do with that. Now, Steve, one of the things you make note of in my birdhouse is there's a hole, but you can't see the hole because they've covered it over. Yeah. And actually, this is relatively few. It's maybe 3 or 4 bees deep now. But they've covered the holes, so they're not going in and out. And yet, they're still flying back and forth from the flowers with little pollen balls on their butts.
Yeah.
What are they doing with the pollen if they can't get in the hole?
Oh, they'll get in. You know, the bees are just, like I said, probably overly crowded. You know, nothing to worry about. And the hive they built in there is probably, there's no room. You know, there's so much comb and brood in there that, you know, they find their way and they'll make their way around.
Probably
it.
Stacks
they make little
of newspapers,
tunnels.
Too. They might be hoarder bees.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah.
Magazines.
Yeah. Sometimes late at night I hear, excuse me.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And that's got to be them.
Because they just don't have a lot of room.
Yeah, the neighborhood's hanging out. You know, neighborhood bees there.
So it's nice that she's got healthy bees, because if we can segue into a more general bee discussion, there's been some unhealthy bee stuff happening lately. It's been in the news quite a bit with a colony collapse disorder.
What is that?
That is something that nobody knows about, including myself. It's still a mystery. I mean, my theory is... you know, it's chemicals,
pesticides,
so
like,
neocontinoids.
The general problem is that bee colonies are mysteriously dying off.
Yeah, it's either that or, you know, colony collapse, they consider that being, you know, the bees disappear with the hives healthy and all of a sudden there's no bees, you know, they're not there anymore. They saw them and they're gone. And my theory is, well, they're probably taking them and repopulating a new planet. That could be one thing.
Wow.
Or,
boy, or you're not out there, Steve.
No, that sounds completely reasonable.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I think. It's that, and, you know, there's no reason why they should just absolutely disappear like a magical trick, you know,
One ever finds them, like, dead in a pile
I've seen that.
Oh, you have seen that?
That I would consider like a colony collapse.
Is that getting any better? Because I remember there's a lot of news about colony collapse disorder about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
I see less about it now. Is that because we're just used to it, or the bees are making a comeback?
I think they're making a small comeback because more people are more aware, more environmental. So most people want to, you know, we're all fighting to try to get rid of the chemicals that are sprayed all over the planet, you know, all over us in the air.
Sure.
You can imagine little bees suffering more than even us as humans because we're so tall and big compared to bees.
Right.
And they're the ones to first touch the food. And then we eat the food after, you know.
Yeah, we need them for everything, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not just Paula's backyard, but bees are, you know, they apparently help the environment quite a bit.
Oh,
although
absolutely.
I don't know how much
charitable
work they do.
About bees is the Bee Movie. Did you see the Bee Movie, Steve?
Oh, I loved it, yeah.
You never thought it was weird that a human woman was maybe going to go out with a bee?
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
first sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix sleep quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is yes, the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
European. They are so European. And you can get those kind of, you can get washable silk tops. You can get 14 karat gold jewelry and like all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events, such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric.
Urgh.
They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Not too weird.
That just seemed odd to me. You know, sexual attraction between a bee and a human woman.
I talk to my bees all the time, you know.
Yeah, this was beyond talking. There was love there.
That was a real thing happening.
Yeah, she was
like, movie that with Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld,
they fell
in
love.
My buddy Spike Ferriston co-wrote that movie.
Oh, I didn't know. It was a very funny movie.
Very funny movie.
Now, in the bee movie, they all had to choose jobs, but you're sounding like there's very few jobs in the bee world.
And only one for guys.
Yeah, there's only a few. Yeah. One for the guys and only a few for the ladies.
Wouldn't that have been a terrible ending to B movie if Jerry Seinfeld B's genitals had just exploded? End of movie.
Right.
That's the sequel. Oh, yeah. That's the much anticipated sequel.
Surprised they haven't done the X-rated one yet on that one. That's a funny one. They may now.
Yeah. No, I bet they will. Now that they know we're clamoring for it.
Absolutely.
Now, do you remove them from people's homes?
Yeah.
Yeah. And do you use the little vacuum thing?
No.
No?
All done by hand. All natural.
What do you mean, all done by hand?
One
you pick
bee
up,
by bee?
You told me there's 1,000 bees in a hive. You pick up each bee one at a time?
Nope. I just pick up the main bulk of the bees with the queen, and I use some sort of, you know, I feel like an energy and an at-one type of thing with them.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll go in there. I'll use a little smoke. A
smoke.
Little perseverance, and then
smoke makes them
there.
Sleepy, right?
No, it'll actually calm them down. Sometimes
them down.
It'll make them. If you're smoking a hive and there's an active hive and it's established, they'll eat up some of their honey and it'll kind of tire them out and relax them.
And so you hit them with smoke and they get the munchies and mellow out.
Exactly.
Okay, where have I heard that before?
don't know. You want some more chips?
Yeah, sure.
So wait, they eat their own honey?
Yeah.
Oh, so what else? Do they eat anything else?
Just pollen, you know, nectar,
now,
water.
Are they
which
water.
They call raw honey.
Are they eating that, or just when with the pollen, they put it on their little?
Well, they do eat nectar. So they eat the nectar, uh-huh. and then they graduate, and then they have some pollen afterwards. I mean, they need that to survive.
Yum.
So they eat the honey to yeah. survive. Yeah. They need it.
Yeah. So every night, the little bee babies, what's for dinner? What's for dinner?
Like honey again?
It's nectar.
Honey, nectar, yeah. and pollen. Oh. Yeah. We had that last night.
A lot of it's home cooked, yeah.
No, tonight we're going to have pollen, honey, and nectar. Oh, boy!
It's just changing the order.
Yeah.
Well, they're not that bright.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are they smart? Do they have brains?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's little bee brains. Yeah.
Little bee
they
brains.
Have little bee brains, yeah.
Little bee brains. I love that.
Now, Einstein once said, if the bees disappeared, and this is allegedly Einstein said this, I'm not sure I believe it. If the bees disappeared off the face of the earth, presumably going to space, man would have only 4 years left to live. Does that, do you have any idea what he was talking about there?
I mean, it makes sense. And if he said it, you know, I would trust him.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Sure.
He's a smart guy. But, you know, you would think about it that if we don't have anything pollinating the planet, then, you know, we would have to, you know, I guess look to ourselves to try to, you know, fix that problem.
Right. I don't trust us to do that.
Yeah. I don't know if that could be done. I mean, maybe it can. Maybe it can't. I don't know.
I can occasionally get covered in pollen, but it doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd have to go.
I've got allergies.
Yeah. Bees fly and work so hard to collect pollen and nectar. They do so much. We wouldn't be able to do it, to be
honest. Probably not.
So, Steve, is there any harm in having the beehive there?
Well, I would say if you're not beekeeping and having somebody watch the bees, you know, if they're just in the house, the queen will mate with feral bees in the neighborhood.
Feral bees.
What's a feral bee?
Feral bees are just bees that are just all around the city. And if you're not keeping them like beekeepers...
They're not part of a colony on their own?
They're homeless
they
bees.
They are. They're part of other colonies, but these are feral bees. We call them feral bees because they're not part of the nest.
Oh.
And they're not part of any location where you're keeping European nice
bees. And
that's
who the queen is slipping out and mating with?
They're like homewreckers. Is that right? They're like the milkman. They just come by...
And why is it dangerous in Paula's yard if the queen needs to go out and get a little bit of feral bee action?
There's a chance that they could turn hybrid.
What does that mean?
Who could turn hybrid?
The whole colony, because the queen's mating with other feral bees. Like
and we don't know where they've been.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then, you know, laying those eggs and the cycle of bees. Remember we talked about the migration every 2 to 4 months.
Uh-huh.
That migration of the nice bees will leave, and then you have the new brood hatching, which could be DNA, a different DNA. And that's how they turn. That's how they change. It always has to do with feral bees and nobody keeping an eye on them.
Now, are some of these those Africanized bees that we were warned about back in the day when they were making horror movies about bees?
Exactly.
Okay. So it's the killer bees.
A hybrid leaning towards killer. You know, killer bees, they are Africanized bees that, you know, many years ago, the guy brought them over here from South Africa.
Yeah.
Had that whole accident on the freeway.
Boy, is his face red, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He had an accident on the freeway with his...
It was like 10,000 hives that got loose on the 101 freeway like over like 25 years ago.
And the traffic still sucks.
Yeah. I'm not sure that has to do with the bees.
No, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So just by having sex with bees that weren't part of the original colony, this could create badly behaved bees.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
In your yard?
Yes.
Yeah, in my yard. Badly behaved bees
anywhere,
in my yard.
In your structure,
well, you said without
yard.
Anybody keeping an eye on them. Well, I'm keeping an eye on them, but I can't identify each individual bee to know if...
You can't be yelling out to the queen, stop, he's not right for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's true.
I think we need bee harmony. I did that for you.
I appreciate
that.
It.
There's nothing but love that made me do that. So if somebody, when you say someone keeping an eye on them, what am I looking for?
Well, what I meant by that is a beekeeper, a professional that's keeping bees somewhere where there aren't many other bees around. Like usually when a beekeeper is beekeeping and he has several hives,
right.
They're doing it, you know, far beyond 3 miles from other bees because then they stay that same DNA. They're mating within their own sort of.
So Steve is basically telling you that you are not qualified to maintain the genetic integrity of the hive in your backyard. Am I correct?
That is correct.
I read between the lines there. I could hear that was a beekeeper diss.
Yeah.
right there. But I heard
you know
it.
Beekeeper.
And I felt it. Yeah. It stung.
Yeah. Well, now, Steve, you are an artist as well. And bees kind of, your name is Picasso.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're a bard of the bees. You paint, you...
Yeah, I paint. I've been painting my whole life and creating. And then I started years ago painting on bee boxes and painting with them.
What do you mean painting on bee boxes?
And what do you mean painting with
them? Well, I'll do artwork on bee boxes, you know, and then I'll...
What's a bee box?
It's a hive box, like where we keep bees.
Oh, I see.
Like a beekeeper keeps, you know, those
boxes. You have
boxes.
One in your backyard. You just think of it as a birdhouse.
Yeah, it's a birdhouse.
Yeah, I do think of it as a bee box. A birdhouse.
And now you actually paint bees. I mean, you don't paint bees, but you paint bees. Here's a question. Have you ever painted a bee? Like body painting?
You mean a real live
bee?
Like
you've taken a bee and painted him?
No, that I haven't. I mean, I used to.
I don't think you should.
No, wait, what if I don't think so.
They don't like that.
People like body painting.
No. You know what they might like is a little necklace.
A little necklace?
Little necklace. Or,
I think that would weigh them down. I think they'd be better off with paint.
Or some nice shoes. They wouldn't want to be painted.
Steve. Help resolve this. I'll bet you $1,000 that they would want to be painted.
They
Paula.
Would not.
And we'll ask Steve.
No, you know how you can tell? Yeah. Have you ever been to like a, you know, a outdoor fair of some sort?
Yes.
And there's kids waiting in line for face painting?
Absolutely.
There's never bees in that line.
Oh.
That's how you can tell.
Touche, Paula Poundstone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, absolutely. All right. You got me.
Yeah.
Okay. Well... Thank you, Steve Downs. You are clearly the Einstein of the bees. Paula, having learned this from Steve and about your backyard beehive, what advice do you have to give our listeners?
Well, Johnny, if I could have a little something, a little eucalyptus in the background, that'd be great. My assistant, Wendell, is wrong. My bees are thriving. It may look like they're leaving, but they're splitting the colony to go with a new queen. So long as the queen isn't whoring around with every feral bee in the neighborhood, they're fine. They're pollinating, feeding the kids, keeping the hive, eating the nectar. The females, that is. The guys do nothing but have sex, and after a couple of encounters, their genitals explode. I repeat, lazy men who make the women do all the work, their genitals explode.
Steve Downs is the owner of Picasso Live Bee Removal. His children's book, The Adventures of Picasso and His Magical Brush, will be out towards the end of the year. Steve, thank you for being on our show.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Steve.
The cat of the week is Moo Moo from Waldeboro, Maine. Thank you, house band Johnny Herbert. Coming up after our little break, we're going to be talking to Lyft driver Virginia Jones.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain...
All we're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain. Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is... Whoa! Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it? Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he fuck, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here it go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the best. Okay,
best
never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
The detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof wherever you get your podcasts and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Wow, well, I have to say, I think our first paid advertisement here on the show went great.
Oh my God, I was sweating.
Yeah, you really pulled it through.
Thank you very much.
You were very convincing.
Very excited to say that we're sponsored by was so exciting, and not have to say that we're sponsored by, you know, one of the members of your family.
Right. Wow. In fact, we were. Okay, well, now it's time to talk Lyft and Uber, ride-sharing companies. You know, all of those things are on the rise. They've disrupted traditional transportation, but they have also given a lot of people employment.
So they say. You know, my son Thomas wanted to be an Uber driver, he told me at one point. I mean, I don't think he even has his license yet, but he had said that he would get his license and become, you know, and drive for Uber. And I wasn't sure. Well, Wendell, my assistant, says that you can't make money doing that.
Well, Wendell was wrong about the bees.
Yeah.
He thought you had a dying bee colony or that they what did he say? They'd lost interest or?
Yeah, he thought they got scared by the construction next door and they flew away. That's what he thought.
Because they didn't like the architecture or?
Yeah, they don't like,
all right,
you
so
know,
already we're questioning Wendell. This duplex. Show's subtitle might be Wendell is wrong if it turns out to be wrong about Uber and Lyft.
Oh my gosh, I hope he's wrong about Lyft.
I'm not convinced that he can speak with authority about this issue, but we have somebody who can. Let's bring on Lyft driver Virginia Jones. She recently gave her 10,000th Lyft ride. She can tell us about the industry from the other side of the wheel. Please welcome Virginia Jones.
Hi, everybody. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for being here.
So, can you make money driving Lyft?
Short answer, yes. Longer
Thank
answer.
You, Virginia Jones.
Great seeing everybody. Thank you so much.
Wow. Boy, we just took Wendell out. That's it. Wendell is wrong. We have time for a third guest.
Yeah. What else has Wendell said lately?
What else is Wendell wrong about? You know, today he said good morning. How about that?
Did he say it at night?
Yeah, not such a good morning for some of us.
Not for Wendell. His day went down. Okay, so welcome, Virginia.
Hi.
Now, you drive Lyft.
Yes.
Okay, so do you make money?
So, yes, you can make money. It's going to require more than you probably want to do.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're doing more than you want to do?
Well, I've... Yeah.
Oh, right now, you're doing more than you want to do.
Aren't we all?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
not
like,
me. I just
he just leaves it up to the family.
But let's talk about your kid. Like how old is the potential Uber
he's
driver?
He's 20. And he says he wants to be a
It's a terrible driver. Idea.
Is it?
Yeah.
There's
like 5 million reasons why, but the top two are when you're driving.
Have you met him?
5 million and one.
Yeah.
5 million and one. No. People who just started driving shouldn't do this job.
Uh-huh.
You need to be driving like with authority and focus and not caring when people are yelling at you to take illegal U-turns. And you got to be a pretty solid driver. You got to have some experience. And
yeah.
And so are there hidden costs involved with your driving?
Yeah. So the thing I like about it is that there's money to be made like when you can do it and however much you want to do it. So if you have a regular job or you're doing other stuff and you're like, I want to have a little extra money to go to a concert. I want to, you know, save up for a trip or something.
Yeah.
You can hop in your own car. You can do it. You'll get cash in hand. What costs in the long run is wear and tear on your vehicle and maintenance and all this stuff that's not, you know, that's the hidden cost.
Right.
Because it's like you take a ride. You pay $3 to get the ride. I make $280 to give the ride.
Right.
But my car paid $1 to give the ride. And then at the end of the year, you essentially throw a perfectly good car into a volcano.
Wow.
Wow. Uh-huh. I think that's an inefficient way to deal with a car.
Well, you have to drive all the way to the volcano as
right.
well.
And then
right. But, yeah, that's more costs yeah. right there.
So you can make money. But the best way that I have found to make money is renting the car through Lyft.
Oh, you rent the car.
So it's there.
So it's not your car.
It's not my car.
Oh.
Because I burned
through.
But then
that costs more money, right?
Yes. But it they give it back to you in a bonus, but it requires you to drive a lot. Like, you're driving full time. So if you're doing it full time, you need to probably rent a car from them. And then you're going to be doing it full time. It's like a regular job. You're doing
right.
it 40 hours a week.
Ugh.
It's a customer service job. If you don't like people, it's not going to work out. My job is to drive people the places I don't want to go at the times that I don't want to go there.
Oh, right.
Uh-huh. You know?
And sometimes they're not great people, right? I mean, do you have some horror stories? Do you have some scary, uncomfortable moments?
Oh, sure.
People throwing up?
Oh, boy, so much. But, like, I was talking to an Uber driver from Boston. We were comparing notes. And I'm like, you know, 90% of everybody is great. Maybe 5% of them are amazing and, like, really super fun to talk to. And then 10% are the worst people that you've ever met in your whole life. And that's... And he agreed with
me. For
me,
even 1%, if they're vomiting in my car, they trump all the other percentages.
All the other percentages.
They eat the rest of the
pie.
You
know, some city, in their cabs, they actually have the vomit fee listed.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's based on what's in the vomit. Like if,
right.
if there's Merlot or lasagna, that's going to be 75. And a lot of the rougher cities will say in the vehicle, it'll say like a stab wound.
Right.
If we're carrying you and you have a stab wound and you bleed on the seats, then they charge you
blood
for that.
A little extra. They put a listing up of that?
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
think that's
yeah,
true
that's,
at all.
No, that is true.
Okay.
That's a hidden cost in Lyft.
Yeah.
Okay. So
vomit, $150.
So you've had vomit.
Used to be $200. Oh, God.
No, $150?
$150.
Wow.
$150, P100 had that.
No!
I'm assuming that number two is $150.
That I would say at least $150. Yeah.
I would, you know what?
Wow, so if you're going to vomit, it's a better idea to take a cab.
Yeah, no, yeah, way cheaper. You're saving a ton of money. Okay. Well, and like, it's not just like the cleaning cost. It's because like, whatever money your driver thought they were going to make that night, they're not going to because there's vomit in the car and you just have to, and it's your car you have to take home.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Oh, boy.
But I had an incident in my own car this morning with oatmeal.
Oh,
what was the incident?
Well, you know, I had
you
to go
weren't oatmealing and driving, were you?
I was.
So
I had to
dangerous.
Go to a meeting early this morning. And so I made my instant oatmeal and I stupidly put the mug on the floor of the passenger seat
of the
car.
On the floor?
I did.
Have you ever driven a car
and
before?
I hit the brake and the mug just went right over. And just like every bit of the oatmeal just went on. Yeah.
Well, you deserved that.
You were literally asking for
it. A lidless mug of oatmeal on the floor of your car.
Yeah.
And you went driving.
Yeah.
As though physics don't exist.
Yeah. Sheer optimism.
Yeah. It's $200 right there. $200. The oatmeal, $200.
So when you're a driver and someone throws up in your car, the method is you take a photograph of it and you send it to Lyft to say, you know, because I can't just say, oh, Adam threw up in my car and there's no proof. A friend of mine didn't know that was the protocol, had already cleaned it up.
Oh, no.
So he had to throw up in the back
his
of his car.
Vomit
he recreated it with chunky soup.
Oh. Wow.
He made an art installation in his car and cleaned that up.
You
but
know
he got
what?
His fee.
I can't, you know what? I feel a little bad sharing that story because.
The oatmeal story?
No, the chunky soup because, there's going to be a lot of people don't even have somebody throw up in their car that do the chunky soup.
Yeah,
thing
I would just
right
use the novelty store rubber vomit. Just,
yeah.
Just
no,
do that.
Like, I'll tell you.
I'd be banking $1,000 a night.
A lot of the people that used to work in the Trump administration, if they hear this, now that they're working for Lyft, if they hear this.
Sure.
They're going to, Giuliani, he's going to hear this and then do the chunky vomit thing.
Have you ever kicked anybody out of your car?
Yes, sir. I've kicked people out. So in general, like if you pick up someone and they're being rude, like even more than vomit, like they're just being disrespectful or demanding that I drive, you know, do illegal maneuvers. I will pull them over and invite them to leave the car. The thing about that, it's tricky. Once you tell someone... I'm going to kick you out of my car. You have to do it because you're not going to be friends. Like, I've had people like cry and go, no, I have to get to the airport, even though they've been terrible to me the whole time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then I drive them to the airport. And the beauty of kicking someone out of your car is you end the ride. You don't judge them. You know, you don't rate them. They don't rate you. Nobody pays anything. Like, just, we're just neutral. We're just bad.
Right.
This
mm-hmm.
never happened. We're shaking hands. We're walking off into the desert.
It's not neutral when you leave someone on the side of the highway with their bags.
Well, and from her perspective, it's neutral.
Exactly.
They were from their way to their mother's bedside in a hospital somewhere.
Which is why they were having a bad day in the first place.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
not neutral.
Exactly. Well, like, some short ones. Like, a guy, I picked up a gentleman, and he was like, you're going to want to do a U-turn here. And I looked at it and I'm like, I'm not going to be able to do that. But like on the map, it says we're going to be at your rest destination in 4 minutes. And then we hit like a tiny patch of traffic. He's like, this is why I told you to take the bleep and U-turn, you bleep and bleep. And I just said, hey, I'm sorry this ride didn't work out. I'm like, once I decided to kick them out, I'm delighted.
You're kind of happy.
So yeah, exactly.
You say it like in a,
I'm like, hey. I'm super sorry this didn't work out. I pulled over and he said, you bleep and bleep. You can't bleep and bleep bleep. I'm like, I for sure can. Because I don't really have a boss.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
That's the secret. That's the secret joy of Lyft.
Adam
the secret
his
sadness
uncle.
Is hidden costs, mechanical failure. But the hidden joy is I don't have a boss and no one can tell me what to do, really.
So how has Lyft and Uber affected the traditional cab business? Because Paul and I disagree on the we were talking about cabs the other day.
Yeah.
I think it's a terrible racket, the medallion racket. Mm-hmm. And but Paula thinks it's a business worth saving because she likes to look out the window and see yellow cabs going by.
That's true. When I'm in New York and I'm up in a tall building, I like to see all the yellow cabs. It's part of New York. I wouldn't want those to not be there. And also, Michael Cohen.
Michael Cohen is my example. Donald Trump's erstwhile lawyer, now rat Michael Cohen.
Fixer. You know, fixer.
He's the fixer who fixes almost nothing, it turns out. But he also ran like some kind of medallion business, which is mm-hmm. like, you know, people were paying hard-earned money to rent cabs through his medallion because there's a limited number of medallions in New York. And before the business was disrupted, medallions in New York City cost over $1 million to buy one.
Right. And everybody knew that Lyft and Uber were going to destroy the cab business. But what's interesting is that it's also destroyed, like, the car rental business because tourists don't rent a car when they come
right.
to town any longer.
Oh,
which is part of why they're renting the cars to drivers because they're like, well, no one wants this, you know, at the same rate that they did.
Right.
So we're going to rent it to Lyft drivers to drive them into the ground for us. The thing about the cab business is what technology will do is like look for the fat on any business. Like,
right.
like, oh, is this ride to the airport worth $80? Probably not. So finding like, and that will happen to any business that has that much gristle on it.
Right.
Someone will find a way.
And the limousine commission's had a lot of gristle because of years and years of being around and being the only game in town, right? Now, New York cabbies are completely okay with you eating in their car because they're behind that partition and they just don't care. But would you be okay with Paula Poundstone eating oatmeal in your car?
I will say I discourage eating in the car for so many good reasons. But one time a woman was seated behind me and I think what she was doing was sucking oatmeal through a big straw.
Oh.
And it made me want to throw up like the whole time. Just this awful.
No one ever talks about that. You know, you talk about your passengers throwing up in your car, but you've never mentioned the possibility of the driver themselves being nauseated. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'll say this. If
you
hear somebody behind
you
and it sounds like they're sucking oatmeal through a straw, that's the best possible thing that noise
that could
be.
Be happening.
Yeah. Don't
possibly
turn around.
Be
just
happening.
Decide in your mind that's oatmeal through a straw.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. In your head, you're saying, I hope it's oatmeal. I hope it's oatmeal. I hope it's oatmeal.
Oh, gosh.
All right. Well, Virginia, thank you for driving this conversation. Paula, what have you learned about ride sharing that you would now like to share?
I'm going to boil it down for you, Adam, and put it in a recyclable container. Thank you, Johnny, for that background music. You can make money driving for Lyft, but you have to work like a goddamn female bee. You have to carry a can of chunky soup in your car in case nobody throws up. If they do throw up, you have to take a picture of it and send it to Lyft, who is coming out with a coffee table book at Christmas. The joy of being a Lyft driver is that you can throw passengers out if they're rude, and you don't have a boss. It's a good thing you don't have a boss, too, because you keep throwing rude passengers out, and a boss would fire your ass.
All right, Virginia Jones is a Lyft driver right here in Los Angeles, California. Thank you, Johnny Herbert. Speaking of music, if you have a theme song for us, email it to nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. Paula, I know you're always out on the road. What's coming up?
On September 14th, I'm going to be in Bethlehem, New Hampshire at the Colonial Theater. The next day, September 15th, I'm in Hackettstown, New Jersey at the Lackland Performing Arts Center. And on Monday, September 17th at 7:30 p.m. at the New Road School in Santa Monica, I will be hosting a panel of experts to speak about the effects of screen devices on kids' brains. You can get all the info at my website, www.paulapoundstone.com. You can even buy T-shirts there. And you know, it's a remarkably soft Tri-Poly Blend.
Hey, if you need Paula's advice about something, send us an email at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
I'll listen to you. I promise.
That's very generous of you, because as we know, nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. Our show is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, and Ken Lezebnik, along with Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Johnny Herbert, and to our guests, Steve Downs and Virginia Jones. Our muscular security guard is Big Ben Lezebnik.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
This podcast brought to you by the Find Thomas Coin Foundation.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.